Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, yeah, we're bringing us power through unity. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Tribe on tribe will come alive.
Sleeping giant.
Your heartbeat, I feel it. Yeah, I feel
your heartbeat,
I feel it.
Yeah,
I feel
your heartbeat,
I feel it.
Yeah,
I feel
your heartbeat,
I feel it.
I feel it, yeah, I feel it.
Yes, you are.
Bring us together,
bring us together.
About this mission that we're on to spread the love of Yeshua and our Creator all over the planet. Yes, we are here to give information about parental alienation and circumcision or not. I came across some amazing videos about circumcision that I'm going to be sharing with you because it's a topic that, again, is divine. dividing people, which it really shouldn't be dividing people. So we're looking for all the single ladies in the house, all the single ladies in the house, and even the married ladies in the house to give your testimonies about your experience with circumcised or uncircumcised men, as well as the men to chime in and tell us what their thoughts are on this subject, because it's divided and it's confusing to many people. So I want to start out by saying on this Resurrection Sunday, what many have been celebrating all day as Easter or Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it, it's been a time of coming into a peaceful, joyful, celebrating space of energy. So good things have happened all day today. People have calmed down, they're praying more, they're worshiping more, and they're thinking about their family more. So this has been a very good day to calm down the energies of confusion and fear and building up faith. Today, a lot of people were building up their faith, which is awesome, wonderful. So today on this show, we want to build up your faith about circumcision and especially parental alienation, which I was surprised that this is even a global issue, but unfortunately it is. One of my listeners texted me last week and said, you've got to talk about parental alienation. I'm like, I thought, well, why? What do I need to do that for? Is there an issue going on out there? Yeah, there is an issue. And how do we know? If you go to YouTube and just type in parental alienation, the topic comes up way more than I'd like to admit, because that means we've got a lot of mental issues going on out there between parents and their children, unfortunately. But we're here to bring some love and wisdom to the topic as usual. And I want to start out with the topic of circumcision, because when you think about the act of sex and the utilization of members of the body and how parents start out thinking they have to cut the foreskin off their baby boys' penises, that's almost where all this conflict starts. But there is some biblical references to this practice, but I thought tonight we'd have a little fun with it and go around the world and get some opinions on the topic of circumcision. And then there, I found a very good audio and perspective from a Jewish young lady, which is very relevant because most of what we believe, I think, in on the topic of circumcision is biblical history. And then some of it may go back even further, as she very well explains in her presentation. So let us look at a few videos or listen to a few audios on the subject first, because I'm all global about everything. This is a global platform. We have people listening all over the world. And I like to give a global perspective on whatever topic we have. Soul Purpose Healing is all about bringing us back into alignment all over the planet. We are going to be brought back into alignment with the Creator's love, wisdom, and compassion. So no matter what your opinion is on circumcision and parental alienation, which is, it's going to be kind of tough, but we'll get through it because we want to bring some peace and joy to the subjects we bring up today. So circumcision, let's start out with a few points of view, which I think some of them are kind of comical. Because men talking about their dick, that's what how some of them are expressing it, is sometimes funny the way they express what their experiences are. So I'm going to be sharing with you some global perspectives on circumcision. And you're going to be so enlightened, because some of these you may not have even thought about. And I didn't think about how the sensitivity versus being circumcised or not is an issue. Really? Okay. And then I might give a little bit of my own experience with this topic because I do have an experience. And if you have an experience, all the ladies in the house, all the single ladies in the house, let's speak up tonight and share your experience so we can bring clarity and peace to the subject and break up some of the confusion and come to unity and understanding and agreement on the topic. We don't have to be confused about this topic, or we don't have to debate about it really, but there are actually a lot of debate going on about it. The experts have something to say. Men have something to say. It's very comical what men have to say to me. And women too, because women make a joke of it sometimes, you know, playing with the foreskin or whatever. It's like really interesting. So we're going to listen to some points of view on this topic from all over the globe. I have chosen a few perspectives, and I'm going to just play them one by one, and then we'll come to a more spiritual perspective, because the Messiah, Yeshua, since this is resurrection Sunday, we do want to have a perspective on what the Messiah said in the scriptures. And it wasn't really the Messiah's voice that said the heart, that circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. But the Messiah talked about something about do not judge according to appearances, that Moshe gave you circumcision from the Creator. In the book of, I think, Exodus is where we first find the mention of circumcision. Zipporah was Moses' wife, and she got angry for some reason because Moshe wouldn't cut the skin off. Interesting that a woman started this. Okay. She cut the skin off of her son and threw it at the feet of Moses, and that settled the argument or the disagreement by cutting off the skin, circumcised. So in the beginning, it was done in anger because she felt her husband was being disobedient, so she cut off the skin, foreskin of her son. I don't know if you know about that beginning history, but it's very interesting how the Bible portrays value and beliefs and how we have taken it today literally. Okay, so we have to come out of some of the literal interpretation of scripture and really look at the spirit of the law and the behavior of the people who are represented in the Bible. So let us come up to the 21st century, get the perspectives of a few men first and then a woman, and then let us have a discussion on circumcision and maybe a little act of sexuality, because that all plays into it, why people do it. And then we want to get into the parental aspect of it, because when we get beyond the circumcision and how the penis feels and all that, then we have to talk about that seed that was planted that produced another soul on the planet, a baby and all that, and then how we get into more conflict. Oh, my goodness. So we're always resolving conflict, right? We can do this. We can resolve conflict, come to peace, come to unity, come to agreement, and rejoice, 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 like so many were doing today about Yeshua, the Messiah. So I'm going to, again, be sharing with you some voices all over the globe about the topic of circumcision. Laugh a little. It's okay to laugh. So here's a case for and against circumcision to start.
In 2012, the American Academy of Pediatrics published a policy statement in which they said that the benefits of male circumcision outweighed the risks of the procedure. They cited health benefits, which, while not great enough to warrant a recommendation for all males to undergo the procedure, were significant enough in their minds to make sure that all who wanted it could get it and that it should be covered by insurance. Not long after, the CDC concurred. But what is the evidence for and against circumcision? That's the topic of this week's Healthcare Triage. For years, pediatricians have cited studies that show that being uncircumcised is a risk factor for developing a urinary tract infection. They point to research that shows that penises that are circumcised have lower levels of yeast and bacteria on them. Even more compelling, cohort studies showed that there was a tenfold increase in the rate of urinary tract infection in boys who were uncircumcised versus those who were circumcised. That's a relative rate difference, though, not an absolute difference. The actual rates of urinary tract infection were 1.1% versus 0.1%, for an absolute rate difference of about 1%. This means that the number needed to treat is 100, or that 100 boys would need to be circumcised to prevent one urinary tract infection. Other studies say the number might be even higher.
It's really hard to argue that this decrease is worth a permanent surgical procedure. It's especially hard to argue given that we don't really have data from randomized controlled trials. It's possible that there's something else different about boys who were circumcised against those who were not, especially since the vast majority, more than 80%, of boys in those studies were circumcised. Regardless, this amount of benefit seems to pass the threshold for coverage by insurance, which is low. So it's available to any who want it.
Another benefit sometimes touted for circumcision is a reduced risk of penile cancer. Case control studies have reported that men who are uncircumcised have a 3 times greater chance of developing penile cancer. Again, that's relative though. Penile cancer is very rare in the United States, so the actual risk reduction from circumcision is very, very small. It's estimated that more than 300,000 infants might need to be circumcised to prevent 1 case of penile cancer each year. Some will argue that circumcision can reduce the chance of contracting a sexually transmitted infection later in life. A systematic review of 26 studies found that circumcised men are at a lower risk of syphilis or chancroid. There might be some protection against herpes, but it's less significant. The strongest case can be made for a benefit against the transmission of HIV. In Africa, where HIV is much more prevalent, randomized controlled trials of circumcision have been performed. The results are quite convincing. Absolute rate reductions of 1-2% over 1-2 years were seen. Some estimate that for every 10 to 20 males circumcised, one fewer man might contract HIV over a lifetime. One study compared circumcision to a vaccine of high efficacy. Again, though, these results apply to countries with a much higher prevalence of HIV than we might see in the United States. The protection afforded, therefore, is much less significant. Those who oppose circumcision point to its potential downsides. Surgical complications, while greater than zero, are quite rare. Pain is a concern as well, although evidence exists both to support and refute the claim that male infants recover quickly from the procedure. More prominent concerns focus on the sexual function and satisfaction of those who've been circumcised. Opponents argue that the foreskin, like much of the penis, contains many nerve endings. It also protects the head of the penis, and without it, the penis might become less sensitive over time. But does it? A recent study in the Journal of Urology measured penile sensitivity in circumcised and uncircumcised men and found no real difference. This wasn't the first nor the best such study to look at this, though. A randomized controlled trial of more than 2,700 men in Kenya found that after circumcision, they experienced increased, not decreased, sensitivity, and that they had an easier time reaching orgasm. A systematic review and meta-analysis found that circumcision was unrelated to sexual dysfunction, premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, or difficulty achieving orgasm. Overall, the evidence arguing for and against circumcision unfortunately fails to make a compelling case in either direction. The benefits, while arguably real, are small. The harms are the same. When that's the case, we usually leave the decision to the patient. There is, of course, an ethical problem here. The choice is almost always made by parents, not by the boys themselves. Circumcision is irreversible, and many argue, quite stridently, that this is genital mutilation inflicted on children for no reason. All cards on the table. I'm Jewish, and I'm circumcised, as are both my sons. The procedure has an ethnic and spiritual weight in my community, and when confronted by people who use such language, I generally recoil. Circumcising my boys was a personal decision for my wife.
So there you have a perspective of a Jewish man who says, well, it's about even, the pros and the cons, and, you know, that we parents have to make that decision. But here's a 28-year-old who decided to have circumcision done later in life. He's not Jewish. He just decided to do this act. For very different reasons. I think his testimony is very interesting, and I hope you think it is too, and give us some insight into why men make this decision when their parents aren't involved.
All right, so seems like a lot of people like the talk about circumcised and uncircumcised dicks, and for some reason, those videos are getting a lot of views, so that's what we're going to talk about today. So I lived the first 28 years of my life uncircumcised, and I got circumcised in the last 2 years. Now I'm 31, so almost 3 years that I'm circumcised, and I just want to share my experience so you guys can, you know what's better for you if you're considering to get the operation, and maybe that's going to help you decide. As I mentioned in earlier videos, I got circumcised only because I had some redness or some infection that wouldn't go away I don't even know the name of that infection, but the doctor recommended multiple times that I get circumcised, and eventually I listened to him. So I wouldn't have done it if the doctor did not keep mentioning it. I gotta be honest with you, being circumcised was better for me. So if I didn't get the operation, I wouldn't have changed anything. The reasons are as follows. Number one is that it was so much more sensitive and I enjoyed sex way more. I enjoyed any touch way more. And after I got circumcised, I could say I lost 80% of the sensitivity. So I'm still feeling it, it's just not as sensitive. And the more the time passes, the more you lose reference of how it felt like before. So the only time I could tell the difference between how I felt when I was, you know, uncircumcised and how I felt after getting circumcised was in the first like 2 months after the operation. So I kind of had a memory of how I felt before, and then I started having sex. So I knew how it feels like after getting circumcised. On top of that, I realized that I'm having some issues with some girls because here in East Europe, most guys are not circumcised. How can I put it? The girls simply don't know how to use or play with a circumcised penis. So once you get circumcised, you can't, like, a girl can't just stroke you. Like, she needs some sort of lubricant. So before that, the girls were using the foreskin, basically, to stroke your penis without needing any lube. However, once that skin is gone, there is no place for movement. So for that, you gotta need a lube. And what happens when they try to do what they are used to doing without lube? Pain happens. So you end up just feeling pain and discomfort. And in many cases, you gotta like stop and explain to her that she's doing something wrong and she doesn't know what she's doing wrong. So it adds some complications to it. In terms of feeling, from the girls that I asked, they actually enjoy the penetration more with a circumcised penis. And on top of that, they think that it looks way better. So those are the pluses. The minus is that, well, you're not gonna feel that great. The sex is gonna be like less pleasurable, and you know, you have to explain to the girl how to use it, and you have to add lubricant to pretty much everything that you're doing. I actually went ahead and I asked a lot of girls if they like circumcised or uncircumcised. The thing is that most girls just really don't care. I had a couple of compliments when the girl saw that I was circumcised. She actually liked it more. I'm just assuming that because here in East Europe, it's a little bit more unique. So
that guy, but the thing that I kept wondering about, why are you calling these people you're having sex with girls? I'm wondering, that was like a distraction for me to hear this 31-year-old, we keep referring to these women he's having sex with as girls. Can somebody help me understand that? Why men, and I've heard that more than once, grown men referring to the women they're involved with sexually as girls. What is that? I don't know. For me, it just sounded disrespectful. And it's definitely a physical thing with him in terms of intimacy and having, knowing what to do with his organ and lube and all that. So I thought that was, and that's a European perspective for the most part. I'm assuming he is from Spanish, maybe. He sounded Spanish culture. But 31-year-old having sex with girls and describing his experience after circumcision. Now, as you notice, some of the issues are sensitivity and infection, whether you're circumcised or not. And my own experience, I'll tell you about in that area because I did notice some things as I was in that stage of my life. But here's one more before we go to the break. on life growing up uncircumcised.
What's going on, guys? My name is Absolutely Blake, and welcome back to my channel. Today, I have a story time or talk about my life grow-up thingy that I'm going to share with you guys. So there's two types of guys in the world. There is the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Now, you can make a whole video based on what the differences are and debate on which one's better. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to go over a few points. Like, people say that being circumcised is cleaner, which I can understand is less skin to clean. But then on the other hand, people say that being uncircumcised is better because you have more sensitivity and all that. But truly, how can you really tell the difference unless you have two penises? Or if it's somebody who got circumcised when they were older and already having sex before they were. Well, I don't know anybody like that, so we can't get a full understanding of which one truly is better. But what I can say is that I'm a part of the uncircumcised group. So today we're going to be talking about what it was like for me growing up uncircumcised, because there was a lot of funny moments and just random shit that was going through my mind as a young person, and maybe it could be going through somebody else's. So for my ladies out there, this video is not really directed towards you. You might find it funny, you might find it interesting, I don't know, but for my men out there, here we go. So it all started back in 1994, April 4th. I was born with a penis. Now, when I was born, I actually had an issue with me, and it only happened about a week or so after I was born. I had, like, an enlarged intestine. I do not know what it's called. I think it's, like, plethorastenosis or something like that. Pretty much, I had to get surgery, and my mom saw me crying all the time, and I was in pain, and she didn't want to see me in pain anymore. This is the reason that I never got circumcised when I was a young baby. She thought it was cruel, and she wanted to keep me all natural. Now, backstory on this, let me let you guys all know that in Canada and United States, I find it's more common to be circumcised than it is to be not circumcised. But over in Europe, it's way more common to be not circumcised, but it's a big thing here. So I was the weird one. Now, nothing really came from it because I was young. I didn't know any different. I just thought it was normal to be like that where you have to retract the skin. I can't take myself seriously. I feel like a sex ed teacher. Guys, if you enjoy these kind of videos, throw this a thumbs up. Just smash it right now. Help me out, and then I will post more embarrassing stuff like this, and maybe I'll feel less cringy. So pretty much what an uncircumcised penis is, if you do not know, it's where you have extra foreskin, and then you have to retract it to go pee or to do anything like that. It's kind of like a protective layer over your penis tip, which is why people say that it actually adds more sensitivity, because it's not used to rubbing against boxers or towels or anything like that on a daily basis. My early days are pretty much a blur. It wasn't until I was living in this apartment building, so I must have been in grade 1 or grade 2, so that would be 2001, 2002, which I'm lucky because my grades actually matched up with the year it was. So 18 years ago, I was 7 years old, and I remember taking a pee beside my friend, who also has a penis, but he was circumcised. We were showing each other to like compare the differences and stuff like that, and then I was a little confused, so I asked my mom, and like I was all worried and stuff, and she kind of like sat me down and gave me an explanation on this and that and that. Nothing of it, but this is the moment that I realized that there's two different kinds. During these next couple years, I kind of thought it would be better to be circumcised because doing research, hearing from other people. So like I said earlier, I felt weird, I felt different, I felt like that was just not a thing. When I started getting older and I was in my teen years, this is where things started to get really interesting and really embarrassing. This was because these are the years that you're starting to experiment with other people and you're starting to show off your toy. So my biggest fear when I was a virgin was that the girls would think my penis was gross because that was just what you were taught when you're growing up. Every single sexual encounter I ever got into, I was like very scared at first to like show it off. I was never this person that you guys see on Instagram or on YouTube where I'm showing my ass, I'm naked around a bunch of people. That was not me. I was the complete opposite. I think it was moving out west that kind of changed that because I didn't really know anybody. I could be whatever I wanted. That was the very first time I took an ass photo, was in British Columbia on top of the Inukshuk. And then I started to get less and less embarrassed, and then I just didn't give a fuck. But these first couple girls, I was always terrified, shaking. I was like, oh my god, what if they tell everybody? What if I'm that weird person? Which, by the way, now my friend group is a 50-50 split. Half of us are, half of us aren't. So I know it's not even that bad. So before we get too off track here or confused on sexual encounters, before I even had sex, I had my first blowjob, which is a story time on this channel. But that happened and nothing was said. Nobody was told. Nobody knew. My little secret and me, we were one, except for that first person I showed when I was like 7. So more time goes on. I'm still super shy and I still haven't had sex. And I remember being in the car once when I was 15 years old. Like, I remember this day clear. I was in the passenger seat front. My mom was right there. We were alone. She asked me if I wanted to be circumcised, that she would arrange it, she would pay for it, and I could do it it at the age of 15. I said no, because I was too scared of somebody taking a knife to my penis. If that was something that was going to get done, I would have rather it been done when I was a baby so that I don't remember it now. I'm 15, I'm getting random boners here and there. The stitches are going to rip, they're going to hurt, fuck that. I did think about it a little bit after she'd asked me, but I never ended up pulling through. Then I was 18 when she asked me the second time, and by this time I'd already had sex, and that was with one person, by the way. Oh no, two, sorry. Whew, I'm a slut. Two people I had sex with by the time I was 18, and neither of them cared, neither of them said anything, so I was like, okay, whatever. And then my mom asked me again, holy fuck, that was fast. Did you guys keep up? My mom asked me again if I wanted to be circumcised, and this time it was a firm, fuck no, I'm cool with what I got, let's just let it dangle. But that was the last time that she ever asked that. We are au natural down here. Now, there are some pros and cons, like I mentioned at the beginning, and I do kind of agree with the one that it is more sensitive, because I remember the very first time that I had been retract and I was wearing boxers, it was like mad sensitive. Even the shower was like, holy fuck, but like to a point where it hurt. It was not fun. Over time, if anybody else is feeling that same thing, it does like get less and less and doesn't hurt anymore. So now I can just be retracted wherever, whenever, and we're all good. There's not really much more memories that I really have that were like embarrassing or anything like that. Nobody ever called me weird. Nobody ever said anything. So I truly do think that it was never an issue. It was just my mindset. So I hope if anybody else is out there and is like, whoa, what the fuck is wrong with me? Or like, what? There's nothing wrong with you. You're all good. Just let it dangle. I'm going to make a t-shirt called Let It Dangle. Anyways, I mean, now I'm dating somebody from Sweden where over there it's normal. So we good now. That is it. That is the most embarrassing parts that I can really remember. It wasn't that bad. Just mainly when I was little, I thought that I was weird, and I'm not. I mean, I'm fucking weird, obviously, but not in that sense. So I hope you did enjoy this video. If you enjoy story time things, hearing about my past, hearing about...
Okay, so we've heard from two young men in their 20s and 30s about their experience with circumcision or not, and it really is starting to just become an issue of experience, perspective, mom, dad, attitudes, and infections or not, and penile cancer, and sensitivity. And the biblical perspective, though, has always been, especially for the Jewish community, you have to be in obedience to do this on the eighth day. It was on the eighth day that you should be obedient in Leviticus. The day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. It was a commandment to do this. And so I'm guessing most black males have been circumcised. My experience has been I gave birth to two boys, and their dad was circumcised. So it wasn't even a question or an issue. It's like they got circumcised right before they came home. So we didn't even wait till the eighth day because we were not that religious or biblical obedience. Both of my sons were circumcised in the hospital shortly after they were born. So no guilt at all about that because, I don't think they've suffered from being circumcised on the first day versus the eighth day, but there are a lot of Jewish families who are very serious about following those laws that are in the Bible. So my question is, how has that benefited or not? But let's listen to, Naima's not ready for commercials yet. So I want to listen to, we've heard from two men about three. We heard about the causes, the cases for and against, and then two young men about their experience sexually. They're sensitive, they're embarrassed, whatever. But let's hear a medical expert on circumcision, because we want to clear up all this confusion and conflict over this issue. And the reason I brought this as a topic, I was in a webinar earlier with two men. One was born in Africa, one was born, I think he's born in the U.S., and they mentioned circumcision as if it was a sin to be circumcised these days, and that it was a horrible thing for boys to have had to experience. So they talked about circumcision as a very traumatic experience that boys had to go through, and it was an abomination, according to this one person, Sasha Stone. And I thought, wow, I wonder if that's still controversial, that they're talking about the circumcision is an abomination to God and all this, and it should never have been done. So that's why I decided to bring this topic up. And then one of my listeners wanted me to talk about parental alienation. And I'm sitting by my door talking to a friend about it. I said, you know, I don't know if I can blend the two topics, parental alienation and circumcision. And right at that moment, two cardinals showed up out my window. I said, okay, that seals it. Must want to talk. We must need to talk about circumcision and parental alienation. So I'm going to bring the two together, how we are, many parents are obsessed or concerned about circumcision and their boys' penises and all that. And then when the boys are having sex with women, they're not as concerned. So we kind of lose it, I think, in the connection between adolescence and circumcision and sex with women. And then children show up, and then we have a real problem, almost an epidemic of parental alienation. I was shocked that this is really such a big problem. So while we're waiting for Naima, I want to go to the medical expert, and this is only a couple of minutes. The medical expert opinion, because this is sounding more like it's been a money issue, making profit off of foreskin.
I'm Avery Haynes, live on Hospital Row. Our City News investigation has revealed a disturbing tactic of harassing and even threatening death to parents who decide to circumcise their children. In fact, it is one of the most controversial and polarizing surgeries that is being done in Canadian hospitals. Many parents with sons struggling with just what to do. We took our story, as well as the debate over whether to circumcise or not, to the head of urology at SickKids Hospital.
In the modern days of the internet, it can be pretty painful with some of the information out there. The problem is, when we look at information that accrues, it's based on worldwide information, and sometimes we try to transpose that to our own environment. And if we look at, for instance, Central Africa, where the level of education is different, the sexual preferences may be a lot different than what we have. There are very good data to show that circumcision reduces the risk of HIV. And if we look at many other sexually transmitted diseases, there's no doubt that it does remove that risk significantly by performing circumcision. Likewise, in the newborn, there's substantial data to show that doing neonatal circumcisions, not the older patient, sexually active patient, that by doing circumcision, you'll reduce the risk of boyhood urinary tract infections. But to do so, you have to circumcise 110 boys to get the benefit for one patient. And is that something that's really a risk that we should take in Western culture?
You're saying that there's a lot of good medical information about the importance of circumcision in countries where there are issues with hygiene and with sexually transmitted diseases like HIV. In Canada, do you see the same sorts of benefits to circumcision, or is it almost neutral?
I would say there are no good data in Western civilizations to support circumcision for the same reasons that they might be done in Middle Africa.
And your bottom line is that in terms of North America, Canada, there is no medical reason to have a circumcision.
There are no good data, in my opinion, to support it as a routine procedure.
Now, that's very interesting and surprising a little, that as a medical expert saying there's no data to support it anymore. Okay, why have we been doing it all these years? And a whole generation, maybe baby boomers. I'm willing to guess that more than half of baby boomer males were circumcised. And I'm just betting on it because it was just typical, especially in an industrialized society in those urban areas where you have excess. And when women are giving birth in hospitals versus non-hospitals, that might be the issue as well, because if you're giving birth in the cabin in the woods, I doubt that anyone would be skilled enough to do that or even have the motivation to do that. But let's talk about it. If you have comments or questions, dial 215-383-5863 or post your questions here on Facebook. I'll try and read them. We want to just bring some peace to this topic and break the confusion and bring some unity about it. Do we need to do this to our boys now, our grandbabies, or is it necessary? This doctor says there's no proof to show it's even needed, but you have many men who've had problems with infections and sort of those type of things. My own personal experience, most of the men that I dated or was intimate with, they were uncircumcised, or they were circumcised. of the few that were uncircumcised, I'd have to say I was a little bit questioning whether they were sanitary or something. It was like an issue of, oh, is this clean enough? Because as you know, the foreskin is maybe hiding something, and then when it comes back, there's might be some mucus or something. So they, I don't know, just for me personally, because I guess I, as a young woman, active sexually, I grew up with mostly having experiences with men who were circumcised. Seeing one that wasn't, it kind of raised some doubts in my mind whether this man was as clean as the other ones, because you could clearly discern that. But we all have our little experiences, idiosyncrasies, judgments, all that. And now it's time to look at it for our babies, our grandchildren, whether it's even necessary, because a lot of conscious, holistic women are saying, no, thank you. My baby's not going to be cut on. It's too traumatic. I don't want them to have to go through that. And there's a reason the eighth day was chosen in the Bible to have this procedure performed, because the enzymes in the male were more prepared for this trauma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let me go to the phones and get some opinions of maybe some male individuals who can talk about this in their experience or not. So let's see, 706-202, Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open.
Grand Rising, Sister Viata. Interesting, very interesting topic, because culturally, and you're looking at, you're talking about the Jewish on the eighth day, but in African tradition, you weren't circumcised until you came into adolescence. And that's when the hood was removed in order, because you were getting ready to be prepared for marriage. And so that was the part of removing the hood when you had your rights. Even when in the the movie Coming to America 2, they had that part of being that ritual of circumcision as into manhood. But the thing that's looked at with circumcision, with, and I, as a young man, being the first child born in a hospital, had the trauma of being circumcised, and I still have skins that it's on the side of there that it just didn't heal right.
Oh,
that was the part, and having that done, you know, was a thing that my aunts used to always talk about. Your diapers was just always full of blood. They'd cut your little thing, and they did this to you. But it's traumatizing, because that's why Creator put that there, to take away the sensation of the male, because when you remove that hood, you expose the head of the phallus to sensations, and those sensations send messages to the child before their time is ready for their body to deal with those sensations. And so this was part of the tradition in African way, that they didn't remove that until you came of age, and then that's when it was done. So these were some of the traditions, but they in turn came up with their own traditions and started doing this through it. But it's a traumatizing situation, because you just think that here's a newborn child just out of the womb and not even a few days old, that he's having this surgical procedure done on his most sensitive organ.
You know what? Thank you for bringing up the difference in cultures, the African culture versus the Jewish biblical culture, because that's where we see the main education about it is in the Bible. So we got to take a break. Naima is ready. When we come back, let's talk about why the Bible has that written there to circumcise on the eighth day. So Naima Latif, thank you for sharing our sponsor messages right now.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viate.
We're back. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're talking about a kind of PG-rated topic tonight, circumcision and penises, and as some men like to express as dicks, so whatever. It's a part of our journey. And as one video I was listening, watching, one man asked a question. I don't know why in our society we're so embarrassed about naked bodies. When it's such a beautiful expression of art and who we are. But as Kwame Sunhorse was sharing, his experience as a child was traumatic, and they didn't do the procedure correctly. So now he's living with a memory or a reminder of how they didn't do it correctly. But yet we have Bible references that clearly say that the foreskin should be cut off after on the eighth day. In fact, there's an Exodus, and then the Messiah, who we were celebrating today, many were celebrating today, Resurrection Sunday. All the Messiah talked about was circumcision being something that Moshe gave you, and he said, don't judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. And then in the book of Romans, we are reminded that circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. So I like to think of circumcision as cutting away the fleshly behavior that we're in, the materialism, the consumerism, circumcising the heart. And what do you love? What motivates you? What excites you? Because and when we talk about circumcision with a lot of men, many of them talk about it's an issue of sensitivity, whether a man has more sensitivity before or after, especially if they didn't have it circumcised before. So in a spiritual sense, as Kwame says, it seems to be more appropriate to leave that hood on, did you say, Kwame, while they are young until they're ready to take on a partner to protect that sensitive area of the body. So, Kwame, what do you think about the biblical references to circumcision?
Well, the biblical reference was sort of a covenant that Abraham had taken, because he didn't, Abraham, before he left Ur, in their tradition, they didn't have circumcision. It wasn't until they went into Egypt that they learned about circumcision. And the part for that was that in them identifying themselves as Jews, or the teachings of the Hebrew teachings, that was a form of identifying the male, because a male that was not circumcised could not get married to the people in a certain tribe.
Right.
So that was a form of identification that you had committed a covenant to the Creator by having your foreskin removed. Even, I think, is one in there that talks about the Philistines, and that I think somebody wanted to marry a king's daughter, and he had to have so many hundreds of foreskins to present to the king in order for him to get his daughter in marriage. So it was an identity in them distinguishing themselves from the Israelites or the other nations that were there, because they weren't performing that. So this is where you get the biblical interpretation of it, because they had taken something and they turned around and used it as a form of their own identity. But a lot of the things, even, okay, we're talking about circumcision, but you look at, why don't they do clitoris incisions, where they remove the hoods of women in some African traditions? They don't perform that in either American or any other religion. Even in Islam, they talk about circumcisions. So the thing is that their cultural traditions in which they do certain things in order that they look at saying, this will prevent this from happening with this person at this stage in life.
Yeah, I think the circumcision of women is totally horrific and barbaric, and any other names I can think of, because I can imagine the pain that a woman goes through if that were done, just as the same with men. But I have to say, having diapered my sons hundreds of times in their infancy, I'm glad they didn't have any foreskin to deal with, because as a mother, as a young mother, I think we look at everything being more convenient.
But let me ask a question, because you raised sons. And when you changed your son's diaper,
right,
you could tell when he was getting ready to urinate, because he would erect.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
His thing would erect before he, but in a child that has not a hood, he doesn't erect.
Well, that's what he would erect. I mean, they're both circumcised. So
I know, but I'm saying a child that is not circumcised. My brother wasn't circumcised.
Oh.
I was circumcised. And my mother identified that. She said I can't tell when he's getting ready to pee, because he doesn't erect.
Oh, okay.
Like you did.
Yeah, okay. So the uncircumcised doesn't erect.
Right, because the sensations are, the difference is that hood, and somehow the other is part of the human body. But when that hood is removed, the sensation is different.
Yes,
I
think you're right. And it would be interesting if someone did a study on how a man's sexuality matures based on whether he was circumcised or not. Because, there's a sensitivity issue with circumcised versus uncircumcised men. And it seems like what you're saying is, when they remove the hood, they become more sensitive to feelings in that area, and even stimulation of the urine coming out that causes an erection. So,
With the hood and the man that you were talking about, the man you experienced, and a man who having that, when he gets a complete erection, that hood draws back.
Right,
and then
right.
The other thing that happened with men that have hoods, they get irritations because of the way in which, if it's not a woman is not very lubricated, they will cause that foreskin to irritate and cause them bad sensations in them having to do intercourse.
Well, and even the fact that some men might not be as hygiene conscious as others, and if you don't have the hood, you would have a tendency to develop more problems in that area if you're not as hygiene conscious, because just having your penis in a underwear and pants all day, you're sweating, and then you go home, you don't take a shower, you know, you just go to bed, and then you get up, you wash your face, you don't wash down. You know, depending on how conscious a man is, I could see all
even
types
with
of problems.
Even a man that's unhooded, he has that same odor that is not as strong. But that was the thing with me and my brother, and I had to teach him how to pull back the foreskin when he was bathing, to wash himself and to do that on a regular basis, to clean himself like that. And he learned to do it by me showing him how to do it. My father wasn't there, so I had to be the one to show him that, okay, when you take in the bath or we in the tub, I say, okay, you pull it back and you wash this part because you get dirt and stuff up in there. And so you got to pull the hood back in order to clean yourself.
All right.
It's the same way that women teach women how it's just like a woman will teach a woman, you don't wipe from the back to the front, you wipe from the front to the back. Because women know if you wipe from the back to the front, you are putting impurities in your sacred.
Right. So, yeah, so there it's a matter of teaching, good teaching, and then good practice. Let's go to another caller here, 773. 221, your mic is open. Welcome, and give us your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, Andrew from Chicago. I want to thank Brother Kwame for that very important information because it shows the underlying motivation or intention for why certain individuals have this 8-day circumcision. And if Sasha Stone said that circumcision is an abomination, I agree with him. Yesterday I was on State Street in downtown Chicago, and there were about maybe 15 or so Hebrew Israelites, and they said that, quote, homosexuality is an abomination. I agree with that, too. And frankly, I was happy to hear them say that. And I would also say I think the female genital mutilation, which is considered circumcision for females, I think that's a profound human rights violation. I think it should be outlawed worldwide.
Well, they are trying to do that, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of activity around banning that practice, for sure.
I would also say that anytime a person is focused on another person's genitalia, there's a profound social motivation underlying it, and it's not to be taken lightly. And also, a young lady between the ages of 18 and 25 could be considered a girl because it said that the human brain is fully developed at age 26. So I could see a man in his early 30s consorting with women in that age group and referring to them as girls. I see nothing incorrect about that.
Referring to them as girls instead of women?
Yes, between the ages of 18 to 25, because it said that the human brain is fully developed at age 26, that, you know, they're still somehow regarded as children by their parents.
Well, these are grown men, though. My son does this a lot. When he tells me about the women he's dating, he's talking to them. He refers to them as girls, and I haven't said anything to him about it, but every time he says that, I'm like, why is he calling them a girl? These are grown women. These women are over 30, some of them. So anyway, it's just one of those things I'm listening to and wondering why men are saying that. Let me go to another caller before we have to go to a break. Let's see, 434-425, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, please.
Yes, Gracie, Danville, Virginia. First of all, I would like to say hi to everybody. And I've seen a lot in the healthcare field as far as some older and some younger. And I think it's coming from the area that you're from or how you was raised too, that people don't know or didn't know at the time. So that's all I have to say. But what is the other that you mentioned? Because I had to be off the phone for a while. What was the part that you said the women need to be banned from that part? I missed that area.
Well, oh, you mean
explain that again?
I think we were talking about female clitoral or circumcision. Is that what you're referring to?
Circumcision?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Oh yeah, especially in African countries, they're circumcising women in that area.
Oh, to be
well, for the same
reason. I never heard of it.
Well, for the same reason, I guess, that they give for men, that it desensitizes them, and it's a ritual, it's a cultural thing, especially maybe in the Muslim community. Someone else
mm-hmm.
might know more about it, but that's my understanding, is it's more cultural than anything. And
if I can tap in what you're asking about, it's a ceremony for womanhood when a young girl is getting ready to go into puberty. They remove that hood from her clitoris in the same rites that they would do as a male, because they're looking at that would cause her more arousal, because of, you know, that's some of the things that has been said for the tradition.
Now, Gracie, when you say you've seen things in the health field, what are the type of things that you're seeing?
Like in older men back then, they didn't cut the foreskin off. And then I saw younger men in the same shape. They didn't know the difference either. You know, I didn't say anything, but, you know, you just, when you go in, you had to observe and, you know, and so that's what I saw.
So you're saying they had more infections if it wasn't cut off?
They did have more infections.
Okay. And the older.
Because when you. Yes, when you went in and cared for the people, the individual, there was too much there. You see what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
That had to be cleaned away.
Okay, was this a racial thing or just an economic community environment thing?
It would be any of them.
Any of them,
that's
okay.
That's why I say it depends on, I guess, the parents. Or how they was raised, the area.
So again, we're saying, so you're saying it has more to do with how you were brought up in taking care of that part of your body, whether you were circumcised or not, or most of the time, when they weren't circumcised, you saw that problem.
For the time, if they weren't circumcised, that was an infection there, because it wasn't able to breathe. That area can't breathe.
Okay. Well,
no air.
Right. Okay. And the air and just the hygiene, you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
There's a lot of accumulation there.
Yeah. And that's my thing about my experience with other men, is that there's always a need to pull that skin back to care for it, rather than just caring for it without the effort of pulling skin back. So if a parent doesn't teach a child that procedure and that process, it's a little bit different than just, like Kwame mentioned, girls having to learn how to wipe themselves. because when you're in a tub, for instance, if you're in a tub, my grandchildren take baths together, and they sit in that water and play. And it's a boy and a girl, and they sit in the water and play. So I'm looking at, you know, my son, grandson's penis is floating around in the water, and then they're swishing around, and there's no skin on it because he's been circumcised. And she's in the water. So just naturally sitting in a tub, they're getting the rinsing process, in my opinion, that they would, like a boy who would be uncircumcised, he'd have to take that skin back to get that water in there and rinse all that bacteria or whatever that's been in there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's a start at childhood, what they need to be aware of? So thank you, Gracie. It's nice to hear your voice again. And I'm going to go to, I think Mama 8Z has raised her hand. And I'll wait for... Mama AZ, I'm going to open your mic, but I might have to go to a commercial when Naima's ready. Mama AZ, your mic's open.
Give thanks. Greeting, family. This is a very, very interesting topic. Greetings, Brother Kwame, Miss Gracie. Thank you for chiming in and everybody else. I've had many husbands. And I've had one civilian husband, and it was an issue. And thank goodness my doctor who brought me to the planet, Dr. Solomon, he told me, we had a wood floor, and I would have episodes that you couldn't even walk across the wood floor. It hurt my vagina so bad, you know, and my husband, then he did not know how to properly take care of himself. And we had issues. I was always with infections, always, and I didn't know if he was also rolling with somebody else, you know, and bring that to me, you see. So my doctor said to me, Robbie, the best thing for you to do is bring him in and we can get him circumcised, and then I will have a talk with him because he's a little bit too much for you. He you're very close made, and plus I think he's having other people, you know, dealing with. And so anyway, he ended up getting circumcised, and we did have a family chat to teach him how to properly take care of himself. I didn't get upset about him having somebody else because I knew where the money was going, and I picked up his check, and I told him if he's going to do that, charge. You know what
okay,
I mean?
So
don't give away free.
Let me ask you something. Yes. So he was circumcised at what age?
He 19 because I was 17 going on 18. Well, 18 when we connected, we physically got married. And so he was a year older. He was a year older, so I was 18 and he was 19 when he got circumcised. And it was kind of hard for him, you know.
I'm sure.
But he got to it. Yeah, it was hard. But anyway, we got to teach our young people, like Brother Kwame said, thank you, Brother Kwame, how to teach the women how to clean themselves. How to teach the men how to clean themselves, and then even the women how to clean the men. You know, I never had that issue with military people, my husbands that were military, but I did with my civilian. And so we got to have classes, family. So anyway, thank God.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Thank you, sister. And while we're waiting on Naima for the next commercials, I have one more audio I'd like to play, a Jewish woman's perspective. She gives a lot of insight into why her religion does what they do, but yet she gives a lot of spiritual aspects on it.
Hi again, everyone. So the other video is an introduction, if you will, to my new method of videos where I'm kind of laying low and letting who's meant to find this, find this. So today's video is about circumcision. Yay! So it's something that the universe has kind of been bringing into my field, into my contemplation for a few years now. It came up just through discussions with some male elders, actually, in an appropriate manner, but it made me start thinking about it. And, you know, people who I actually deeply respect. It was a very respectful thing. But I'm Jewish, so for me, you know, it's a very deep consideration, and that I have had to consider for a while, because I've been 98% of Jews are circumcised. So, you know, it's something that I had to really think about. Like, could my children, if I have children, who knows, be Jewish if they're not circumcised? All this kind of stuff. Could they be accepted into the Jewish community? All this kind of stuff. So at the same time, though, and there, I'm going to come back to that because I have, you know, there's more information to share on that. But I've been looking into why did circumcision start in the first place? Because certain biblical laws, we know, stoning people to death for cheating or who knows what. You know, not everybody's keeping kosher. You know, certain laws are, we have not continued to follow. So I thought, why are people circumcised? How did this develop? Not just in Judaism, but, you know, in African Bushmen, in Aboriginals and different cultures around the world. And what is the effect of this? So what I have understood through my investigating, slash what I've, other ways that I've learned, is that at least back in the day, part of it was because, you know, tribes were traveling and there was not always access to, you know, places to bathe and be clean for stretches of time. And so in those stretches of time, smegma, which is like dead cells, bacteria, would form under the foreskin, which would cause, you know, infections or other, you know, pretty serious issues. So it was, you know, a cultural attribute to do that at that time. However, now we have this great thing called a shower, which is constantly available, and therefore that is not a concern. Cleanliness is, I'm sure everyone can clean themselves perfectly well. You know, there's other research that shows it's because it, like, lowers sex drive and, like, the older males in the society did not want as much competition and maybe it even lowers fertility. I'm not sure. But, you know, there was kind of cultural benefits in that way for those who are at the top, if you will. And let's see. Oh, and in modern science, it is also apparently shown that circumcision does lower the chance of, like, getting STDs, like HIV or like UTIs, stuff like this. So, you know, there's that. But on the other, and, you know, there's also, I guess, yeah. But on the other hand, there are a lot of deep spiritual concerns with circumcision. So, I'm sure we all know the, and also I'm just coming at this from the perspective of, like, how can we help heal this society, like the thing, like where have things kind of sneakily gone wrong? So I'm very, you know, caring about how can we all become our full bright selves, mission lamp, without having to be, like, unhealthily codependent. So when I think about circumcision, and what I've kind of been shown, is that, you know, an infant boy enters the world with certain protection of his most sensitive, vulnerable area. He has a natural, built-in, beautiful protection system. And then he goes to his parents, who are also supposed to protect him, protect all their children, and, you know, help them be safe in this world and learn how to be in this world. But our world, unfortunately, immediately takes away that perfection in a kind of traumatic way in the hospital. You know, the clamps that are used have been shown to cause crushing, like, all kinds of issues. And then after the surgery, you know, it's very rough. And then after the surgery, it's extra sensitive. Judaism does things a little bit differently, and I don't even talk about that too, but, you know, there's more ceremony and intention in it, and sacredness at least. But either way, yeah, that's what I would say. You know, it's done, with Judaism, it's done on the eighth day, where there's like this certain protein is there randomly on that day. That's what it says in the Bible. And then in science, there's a protein there, so it actually is the best day you could do it, and it's done in this, like, really more gentle, loving, you know, this different kind of manner. I'm Jewish, so I know some Jewish friends might be watching this. I'll just, you know, that's what I'll say about that. At least it's held in a way. But, you know, the effect of this circumcision, especially if it's done roughly, is that now that protection is just gone. Bye, protection. And there's no way to get it back, except if you find it by going into another area that will also be wet and protective, if you get my drift. So I think that that certainly could cause some unhealthy sexual stuff in our society. If you just, it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If something was taken away, you're going to be forced to kind of become codependent and be seeking it where you can get it. So.
Okay, so we have to go to a break, but she goes on to talk about the yin and yang of the penis versus circumcision and all that. And she breaks it down in an interesting way. To talk about codependency and how each one of us has male and female energy. That's kind of how she sums up. It's a long audio, 14 minutes, so we only got about halfway through. But she sums it up to talk about the male-female energy in each one of us. And some of us are out of balance with that energy, but we all have that energy in us. She really does bring out the fact that this covering, that she calls it, protection is lost when a man is circumcised, and it has to be compensated for in a way when there's union between a man and a woman. So something to think about when we talk about this, there's a whole nother level of understanding and insight and understanding that we can get. And it really is coming down to a cultural thing, whether you do it or not. It's not a sin if you don't do it. It's just a cultural aspect that we need to think about. And so when we come back, I want to go into the parental alienation, how even when we have the union between man and woman and we produce a baby, we still don't develop the connection of male-female energy and the need that we each have as souls, as male, female, father, mother. We become parents now, and we begin to make choices that harm the baby now. So I want to get into that, because that's part of our topic today, just moving from the fact that parents make the decision about this male child most of the time, whether to remove that protection, remove that foreskin. And then it's the parents, as the child gets older, that bring more conflict into that child's life by alienating them, which is a problem in our society today. So when we come back, we're going to talk about more about that and how we might bring more sanity, more peace, community to that issue. Naima Latif is going to again play our sponsors, and we'll be back after the messages.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Life transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Talk about parental alienation. And this is because circumcision is one of those decisions that parents make for the best of their babies, and then even some adult males make it when they're older. But the decision to alienate a parent from their children, that's a big conscious decision that is made sometimes in a very self-centered, narcissistic way. What is parental alienation? Here's a very brief description of parental alienation.
The second part, which is a little bit more obscure, is the alienator is actually favored by the kid. This is how this happens. Children do not want to be in marital conflict. And anytime that they feel that they're in the middle of conflict, they are going to be stressed and are going to do whatever they can to get out of that scenario. They care about both parents. They want to be in the lives of both parents, and they don't want to be put in the middle. Now, an alienator is very willing to put the child in the middle in order to stress the child out so that the alienator can dominate in the relationship with the other parent. The problem from the child's point of view is escaping the conflict. Even when the child is in the other parent's household with a parent who isn't creating an alienation problem, the alienator through texting, through phone calls, through interrogation when the child gets back, can keep that same level of stress on that child even when the child is away. And so the child comes to understand that the marital conflict is a function of being with the other parent. And over time, that child's desire to be out of the stressful marital conflict makes the child prefer the alienator and, in very many cases, the abusive parent. And with very little coaching, the child can then vocalize that the other parent is the problem, because the child has come to see that feeling horrible about this marital conflict is only relieved when the child is with the alienator. So now we're to phase three, the crushing of one of the parents. The alienator is the support system. They've convinced the child that the other parent is the problem, and the other parent is crushed.
So that's basically what's going on with parental alienation. There are numerous YouTube videos on this subject. I was really surprised. And we have a caller here who may be able to give us a personal testimony about parental alienation. 779-777, your mic is open. Welcome. Make sure
yes,
you have
please.
All your
this,
other...
This is Kofi.
Okay, make sure you have any other devices off so we don't have an echo.
Okay. Well, yeah, parental alienation is actually a crime in America. You can get up to a year or 2 years in jail if the parent can prove it that you alienate.
You got an echo. There's something going on. You got an echo or something. Do you have? Are you listening on other devices or something? I don't know. Keep talking.
Is that better now?
Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's the alienation is actually a crime. You can they have arrested others to get a year or 2 years in jail for that. It's a really big situation that, especially in the black community, it goes on big time.
Okay, you got a lot of background. You got a lot of background noise now. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm getting off the metro train here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so and in fact, Kofi sent me a video on a woman who was jailed, was in a court room, and her husband was. Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to Kofi. The woman was in a courtroom situation. And she was being tried for parental alienation, and the husband was testifying how much harm she had done by keeping those children away from him for, I think it was like 940 days. It was a lot of days. Okay, I can't hear Kofi because he's on the metro train. But it's a problem when, and he says it's especially a problem in the black community. Here we go. We have so many relationship conflicts between men and women that this is one of the reasons I'm seeing that some women turn to other women and men turn to other men, because we just can't seem to get along with the opposite sex sometimes. So it's not really something to criticize, that we can criticize. Let's see if Kofi, are you off the train yet?
Yeah, that should be a little better, isn't it?
I don't know. Keep talking. Go ahead. Are you there?
80 to 90% of our family.
Okay, you're coming in and out now. Okay, we don't hear you. Are you there? You're going to have to probably find a better spot to talk.
Okay.
Because we can't hear you at all. Okay, are you there? Okay, so he's going to call us back. In the meantime, relationship conflicts, especially right with, he says he thinks it's a problem, especially in the Black community. Why is it that men and women having a hard time lately, especially, I can understand in this pandemic why we're having a hard time, because everybody's stressed. And if you have not been moving into a new dimension of meditation and nature-oriented more than home-oriented, TV-watching-oriented, and you have an 8-9-to-5 job, and you have children to take care of and take back and forth to the nursing, the daycare, pick up from school, and they're wearing a mask. This equals stress, 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 and conflict because they're not getting the proper airflow, nutrition, and they're not able to concentrate on a healthy relationship because they're trying to survive. I think one of the things I've seen with couples who are having problems, the narcissistic energy of I have to survive this relationship because I keep getting triggered. A lot of men and women are being triggered and their past traumas are showing up, coming up, floating up because the other person is not healed either, and they're just flowing and doing what they think best for them. And so there's very little empathy. There's very little empathy in the relationship. And so back and forth, conflict, arguing, and especially when the children are involved. Oh my goodness, these children are really having to grow up fast these days. And that's the best I can say about these parental alienation problems is that children have to grow up fast. And grandma and grandpa, here we are again. It's our job once again to help them through this very difficult process of resolving conflicts between mom and dad that they are not able to do much about, but help learning the lessons that are meant to be learned from the experience. Kofi, you still got a lot of background noise.
Is that, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you got a lot of background noise. Where are you, still on the train?
No, I'm off. You should hear me
okay.
Better.
Go ahead, that's better. Go ahead, what did you have to say?
Well, I mean, courts have come in, but have not really. They give like a counseling session for the mother and fathers, and which helps, you know, understanding your role. You have a lot of mothers that say I'm the father and the mother, which confuses the child. I've gone through it. A lot of us are going through it, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with if we're going to make our communities better, because you can see a woman walking down the street with 5-6 children, no men, and then women are saying, where are the men to protect me? You know what I mean? Where are the men to protect us? Well, how can we protect a family when you've alienated the father out of the child's life? You know what I mean? And so now you have become dependent on the government for your protection. You see? And you're squabbling about who, you know, you can't see your child and all that. Now you have 90% of the basketball players, professional sports players, they raised up by their mothers. And so now you can see a trend going on. You know, you see a trend after a couple of generations of this. You're like, wait a minute. A lot of these women are having babies, and they're saying, well, this baby's a prize baby. This baby's going to make money for me. This baby's going to get rich and be a professional sports player. He's going to buy me a house. Don't the athletes, don't they do that when they first get their check? Oh, I bought my mama a house because she was there for me all my life. Well, you know what? Look at Shaquille O'Neal. He finally found his father after basketball, and he went to his mom and says, I want to see my father. She said, well, you'll go see him. After he had bought her houses, got her rich, now he went back and found his father. But this is an issue that goes on a lot in our community, and I just pray for one and saying, you make that baby together. You know, that we talk about the yin and the yang. It's called the, you ever heard of the Medu Neter? That's the earth nature. The Neter is the spirit, the nature spirit that is in man and female. We both got the same nature, but we just have different body parts. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's
the equilibrium
that we, that balance that we need to understand, that connects the male and female. And I just hope for the best. If this is, I brought it up because I see it as a continued issue, alienation. I'm going through it. I'm sure a lot of men are going through it. I don't get emotional out of it. You know why? I never get emotional because I tell my baby mother, I'm the one that laid down with you and made a baby. So at the end of the day, I'm pointing at myself.
I got a question for you. You know, it takes two to tangle and all that. So what have been the accusations against you that the woman feels like she would alienate you? There's always two sides to a story. And I'm always interested to know, why is the woman feeling like she wants to, she needs to alienate her children? Do you ever hear why this woman chooses to alienate you from your children?
Oh, it's a spiritual thing. She feels like I'm not the leader, you know. I'm very successful, and she has a college degree, but she has not taken the test that I have. I'm a very open person, and she, when the babies came, she didn't like my leadership. Okay, let's feed the baby this here. No, I want to feed the baby the bottle, the Gerbers. Well, the Gerbers is eating their rectum up. See, their rectum is getting red. Let's get them off that. Let's get them onto some natural. Here are some beans, you know, juicy. Make them into a soup. Give that to them. Here's some raw carrots. You see, I was giving her suggestions. You know what I mean? I wanted her to breastfeed the children. I gave her sesame seeds. She was, I'm not breastfeeding. Okay, well, we can put them in bottles. I gave her some sesame seed. She called me. My breast leaking. Look what you done to me. I said, I went to get a bottle, an electrical bottle thing, to collect bottle. Now she's a great woman for that. Oh, I'm giving my baby breast milk. Oh, feed my baby. But it's all coming from me. You understand? And so she started looking at me saying, you ain't the leader here. You don't control me. I'm like, no, I'm trying to help you do the right thing for these children. And so that was the issue. She thought, you know, we weren't married. So that was a problem. But she's like, you're not dictating here, buddy. And that's when it kind of just went downhill. It's like, I'm not trying to dictate to you. I'm trying to make suggestions to make these children healthy. And you're taking my suggestions, so you should appreciate that. So everything I did wasn't enough. You understand? Everything I've done, here's $500. Well, that's not enough. I need more than that. And if she throw the money back at me, I'm like, what are you doing? I come over and bring her food. They don't need that. You know, everything I did wasn't enough. And that came, that made me back up, slowly back up a little bit, like, wait a minute. I'm doing the right thing. I have good intentions. Why is she doing this? And I start realizing she's getting that alienation control vibration, and she's going to start the internet. I would go over the house, knock on the door, and she wouldn't answer the door. I see her behind the door. Open the door. What are you doing? I'm trying to make my kids scared of me. My kids love me. But I started realizing that she's playing the game, and I'll say this is the last thing. She hit my child at 4 years old, one of my twins, my daughter. She said, Daddy, Mommy hit me. I said, for what? I put coins in my mouth, and she whipped me. So I took, you know, I made a little game out of coins. So I put them in jars at my house, took them back to her house, and started putting coins in the jars. She called me, what are you doing? What'd you do? I said, I taught them how to put, are they putting them in their mouth anymore? as you said, well, I can whoop my children anytime I want to whoop my children. I said, you know what? Don't ever hit my child again for something petty like that.
Well, what you going to do about it?
I said, well, I'll hit you back. Do you know she called the police? I had the police at my door 30 minutes later. And I called and said, what are you doing? Why are you calling the police? You said you're going to hit me. I said, girl, you know what? You was playing too much. I see what you're doing. That made me back up a little bit more. You understand? Okay, she's trying to get me in trouble. And then the alienation began. And I saw the process happening. Well, I had to really back up and think about what I was doing. Because I didn't want to go to jail. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to get in arguments and fights. But I saw she was using this alienation rhetoric. Now, I even talked to her about a month ago. She's saying, oh, you just a lesser of a man. You think you all that. I'm like, well, you know what? I feel good about myself. You know what I mean? So it's always a put down, you know. And I started laughing at her. I said, you know what? Your words really don't hurt me because I know what you're doing. And then I said, you know what? You're alienating my children, and that's an offense. Oh, she hung up the phone and told my kid, never talk to him again. You understand? So,
okay, so
a lot of men go through this.
Yeah. Okay, so Koofy, we've got to take our last break. And I'm trying to, someone's mic open. I'm going to close all the mics and come back. I won't have any other mics open. And I don't know why there's an echo, but I'm going to try and work on the echo while we're on the break because I'm getting notified that we have an echo all of a sudden. So we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
With a place that sees pop-up from Tucson Essentials, you are able to increase productivity, mental acuity, leaving you with higher energy and peace in just 20 minutes. We pop up at our office or yours.
Oh man, I sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for a thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered. Stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Going or coming from, but we're going to continue on. We got about 15 minutes. So Kofi just shared a very, very important testimony, experience, conversation that he's having with his children's mother and the experience that he's having in his life as a father. Thank you, Kofi, for being so transparent and sharing that with us. Because not too many people even talk about these conflicts that they're in that are very personal. And so my experience with this type of conflict with partners and husbands and wives is that usually there's some trauma in the childhood background of both parents that has not been resolved, that we have this continual arguing and disagreement and beliefs. And it sounds like with Kofi that it's a contrast of belief systems. To me, things like breastfeeding and how to raise children should all be discussed before you even get into bed, and especially before you get married or even think about having children. All those things should be discussed before to avoid some of the conflict. But then if you do not have that discussion and you get into this relationship where you have these children and you have to make these decisions, breastfeeding, daycare, whatever, then one of the parents has to be a little more empathetic, more giving, more reasonable in order to go along with the more domineering parent. And then if you have two people with big egos, problem. Because two people with big egos is always going to create conflict, stress, and disagreements. I was married to a man who had a big ego, but I had so much respect for him. For his lifestyle, and I was in a mode of learning and healing myself. I knew I needed to heal from my past traumas. I worked on that a lot, and I put up with a lot. And not to say he was mean or cruel or disagreeable all the time, but I discovered real quickly our belief systems were not the same. And when you discover that in a relationship early enough, you either compromise and you start making choices that go along with the other person's beliefs, or you get out of the relationship. But when you have children, that's a whole different matter. So let me open the mic. We have a caller who wants to chime in and share their experience today. 509-316, your mic is open. Go ahead. Hello, your mic is open. 509-316. Did you press? Sounds like they got their mic open, but they don't know that they're ready to talk. Okay, let me see if this helps. Okay, 509-316, are you there? Okay. We'll come back to them maybe. Okay, so we only have a little bit of time left, and so this is what I'm going to open up Kofi's mic again, see if we can eliminate some of the echo. I hope the echo is eliminating, because I've turned off my speaker thinking maybe that's part of it, but Also, let me just check my speaker on my tablet. Sometimes the speaker on my tablet needs to be coming down. Okay. Okay, so Kofi, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Kofi, do you see where sometimes if two people have big egos, let me see, where there can be a where there's going to always be disagreement when two people have big egos?
Well, it's belief system. When you don't have the belief system, the ego forms. I'm better than you. You know, I know more than you. And that was my issue with my children's mother. Our belief systems were different. So you hit it on the nail. That was it.
Okay, I can't hear you. I can't hear you very well. So he says, yeah, that's the big lesson for him is the belief systems are different, but now we have two children. And all you can do sometimes is go to court. Unfortunately, when you can't resolve an issue, it's really a challenge to not have the court in there when you can't resolve it and you really want to see your children. And they, Kofi shared with me, they put women in jail. Ugh. For making the decision to keep their children away from their father. I don't care. If that father is not beating the children, molesting the children, they need to have a relationship with their father. Even if the parents, if two parents can decide, well, I want you to see your children, but I'm going to be there with you, or I want to have somebody there supervising them, instead of having the court make those types of decisions, hopefully you can come to the decision and realize the children need both parents. I'm in the middle of being a grandparent with two children who have gone through divorce for the last 2 years, almost 3 years now. And it was challenging, I could tell, emotionally for a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old to be separated from mommy and daddy. But they have made the best provision to have mom and dad equally seeing those children, and I see healthy children developing because of that arrangement. But when you want to take a child away from either parent, and that parent is for the most part sane and healthy, that's a move that's going to have negative consequences, and it's something we want to try and avoid if at all costs. It's time for us to really work on developing relationships that are healthy, that are nurturing, that are caring, and that don't alienate, for one, and that don't cause even more conflict than our government is causing us, than our medical system is causing us. We've got all these systems out here causing conflict and division, the media. It's if at all possible, try and work with your children's parent in a situation like this that will bring more peace. Otherwise, get some help. You need to get some help when you're not able to work with another person when it comes to your children and bring some sanity, some community, some love and care and some respect to those situations. I have this female energy healing music I want to play. Because we have so much of this conflict, I want to just end this program with some music that is meant to bring healing and hopefully raise the frequency vibration of those women or men out there who are struggling with being more empathic and more considerate, more compassion, and more love. And just, we're going to just take a few minute break before we leave to hear this female energy healing music. And this is healing the female in the men and the women, because we both have female energy and male energy inside of us. And even circumcision, when a woman makes a decision or man, parents make a decision whether to circumcise or not, they need to consider how that's going to affect the balance in their body of protection, yin yang energy in that organ. It's not just about the penis having a cover even. It's about the energy that's going to be interrupted. So let's just listen for a few minutes. Close your eyes and take in this female energy healing. an upbeat sound of how we need, a reminder of how we need to raise our vibration, our frequency, to overcome the parental alienation. Because the souls that are being harmed are the children. And there's so many children today that need healing, that need mothers' conscious parenting. And we're not seeing the conscious parenting today like we need. That's why grandparenting is so, so important. How we need to be, grandparents need to do the work to stay healthy mentally and physically so that we can be ready, have our little antennas up for those children out there, whether they're your blood, your relatives or not, for those children out there who are needing some extra attention. So don't forget to join us tomorrow morning for Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda. And she has a review of The Passion of the Christ with Brother Lionel Abdul-Haq of Community Cultivation. So you don't want to miss that show tomorrow morning. She starts with some wonderful breathing exercises, which we do so need every day, all day sometimes. I mean, I've been deep breathing a lot lately after a little challenge I had the other day of being dehydrated. So I'm reminded every time I take in deep breaths to drink some water as well, to hydrate and keep this beautiful vessel flowing with health and nutrition and energy.
End of our show today.
So we are at the end of our show, and I thank you so much for joining me this evening. I hope you'll share this with those people in your life who need some light, enlightenment, knowledge about circumcision or just parental alienation, how it is a real issue that we need to work on and resolve with education, with meditation, especially meditation. If you find yourself in conflict with another parent and children involved, please take the time to meditate and breathe. Listen so that the children will not,
90 seconds.
Will not be so stressed about their life with parents. What a challenge. So thank you again for being with us. And we're going
to our global family,
say global family.
We say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, Sheshe.
Sheshe.
India, Zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan. Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea.
60 seconds.
Russia.
Russia.
Germany. Danke.
Danke.
John Cunyon.
John Cunyon.
France. Merci.
Merci.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Shukran.
Shukran.
Ghana. Madasi. Nigeria. Eshe.
Eshe.
South Africa. Giabonga.
Giabonga.
Senegal. Geret.
Geret.
Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda.
Toda.
Pakistan. Shukriya.
Shukriya.
Afghanistan. Tashakur.
Tashakur.
Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
10 seconds.
Good night and I love you.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.